So for several Sundays now, I've been reflecting on a few things that are important in a vibrant Jesus-following church, one that's making a difference in the world. It just happens to be the four things that make up our purpose statement on the front of our bulletin. And so we've talked about service, acting as God's voice and hands in the world as we help those in need and care for God's creation and people. And we've talked about the importance of creating meaningful and inclusive community, welcoming all people into a place where they can belong and where they are loved, where they feel supported and can be their authentic selves as God created them to be. And we've talked about living as witnesses of God's love in and for the world, living our lives as examples of love. And how important that is, particularly in this moment in history when the world, even the part of the world that claims to be Christian, seems to be embracing hate and lies and making it so difficult to love. All three of these callings, service, community, and witness, are all linked together in many ways. Witness can also be service, which can also create community and so forth. And they also ask us to look outside of ourselves to love our neighbor, as it should be. Now, the fourth component of a vibrant Jesus-following church that I want to reflect on is also linked with the others. We might think of it, though, also as self-care. And that's what we're gathered here to do right now, coming together to worship God. In a way, it might be what a lot of people think of first when they think of church, the Sunday worship service. But as far as I can remember, Jesus never really talks much about worshiping together in a group. However, in today's gospel reading, we heard that it was Jesus' habit to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, where there was at least the reading of scripture in a group setting. So he certainly saw value in getting together with other folks. But what is it we mean when we say that we're getting together to worship? While searching for definitions of worship, I found it variously defined as expressing reverence and adoration for God, devotion to God, praising God, beholding God's glory. All of which I think are perfectly wonderful and helpful things for us to do, but I wonder if they're really the main goal of worship. After all, God doesn't have a big ego. God doesn't really require our praises. The prophet Micah says it plainly. Ritual offerings or anything else that kind of feels like it's placating God or bribing God or trying to get on God's good side is really pointless. That's not what God wants from us. Appealing to God's ego isn't going to get us anywhere because God doesn't have an ego. What God needs from us is justice and kindness and humility. And this isn't just Micah saying this. The prophets Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah tell us the same thing. And in Matthew 23:23, Jesus himself says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." All of our spiritual and religious practices, tithing, fasting, prayer, worship, and so on, they're all important, but they're all for naught if we ignore justice and mercy. If we look at it another way, we could say that living in harmony with God, living a life of justice and mercy, loving God and neighbor, service, witness, community, these are the goals. Worship and the other spiritual practices are the building blocks that help us get there. We might think of worship as practicing how to be the kingdom of God. And so, if service and witness and community are creating the kingdom of God in the larger world, then we could understand coming together to worship as a microcosm of that kingdom. We create here each week what we want to see in the world, coming together as community to demonstrate our service and love to each other with peace and hope, justice and mercy, so we might carry that with us from this place the rest of the week. Or if we want another analogy, I sometimes like to think of worship as going to the gym. We exercise to build our physical muscles so we can be healthier and increase the capabilities of our bodies. Going to worship is exercising or building our spiritual muscles so we can be healthier and increase the capabilities of our spirit. Now, one definition I found of worship that I quite liked described it as seeking and responding to God. In other words, worship is about building relationship with the divine. When we say we're coming together in worship, we're really saying we are gathering to deepen our relationship with the divine presence in a conscious and intentional way. And if we seek to know God better, I think it makes sense to do it in community. Now, certainly there's much benefit in prayer and meditation done in solitude. But there's also something powerful about coming together and invoking the presence of the Spirit. I like to imagine each of us bringing our own divine flame, that bit of God that is within us. And when we come together, we end up with a roaring bonfire. And as the minister, how we get that fire going, how we encounter the divine presence in worship, is one of the things I think about when putting this together, the service. And of course, God is always with us. But how can we make that veil that we put between us and the divine just a little bit thinner during this time? Now, we know that we're all different. So while music might touch one person's soul, someone else might find silence more meaningful. But however we connect, we need to find ways to connect, because it's connecting with God that gives us the energy, the courage, and the strength to go out and serve the world. In addition to trying to make sure we know that God is always here with us, another, what I would call, goal of worship is to remind us that we are loved. And I hope that message comes through every time that we gather for worship. We are God's beloved children, just as we are, each worthy and deserving, each created to become our wonderfully unique selves, each capable of great things, bringing incredible gifts for the world. And it's in knowing that we are loved that we can become witnesses to the world, lights of love in the world's darkness. And a third goal of worship is to help us in some small way to continue creating community, to remind us that we need each other, to remind us of the Christ not only in ourselves, but in the person sitting next to us. That in learning to be true, supportive, and inclusive community here, we can continue to ever widen the circle of community, welcoming any and all of God's people everywhere. Worship is always a balance between opening the heart to experience God, feeding the mind to learn new things, and addressing our emotions and fears and what's going on in the world, trying to both challenge and encourage us. And we could talk about all of the individual elements of a typical worship service, the liturgy, the prayers, the sermon, etc., and how and why we do them the way we do. And being a minister, I would find that discussion quite interesting, but maybe it's one for another time and place. I do know as the pastor, some services work better than others. Some sermons that I think are going to be really great seem to turn out to be clunkers. And some that I think are going to be clunkers seem to really touch people. You can never really predict how the Spirit is going to move. Part of that is because people connect and learn in different ways. And we all arrive with our own baggage, with our different moods each week. And if we come to a service and it's just okay, know that someone else at that same service might have heard exactly what they needed to hear that day. And it might have been the Spirit working through you to say to them what they needed to hear that day. And also remember, the worship isn't a random experience either. It's a planned experience. It's a planned event. And there are maybe a few things that we can do to help deepen our worship experience. And certainly, I always want to try to encourage people to offer insights about what they personally find meaningful or don't in the worship service and why, as well as suggestions about what we might try differently. I want to be open about trying new things and getting creative, and I hope you will be too. And that's what I like. One thing I like about this church, we are very open, I think, I feel anyway, about trying new things. And Jesus also talked about worshiping in spirit and truth. And for me, this speaks to the need to come to worship, to come to our relationship with God with an open heart, honestly and vulnerable, willing to be transformed. We have to open ourselves to the possibilities of where God might lead us, the truth that God might reveal to us. And so in the end, I don't think how we worship matters as much as what the worship is accomplishing within our hearts. Is it nurturing and deepening our relationship with God? Is it building a foundation for the work of love and justice that we are called to do in the world? One thing that can help deepen our worship is the attitude that we bring. And I don't really mean the mood that we're in. It's okay to come to worship if we're in a bad mood or if we're depressed. And in fact, I hope that's when we most want to come to worship, because I hope that worshiping with our spiritual community will lift us up and will help brighten our day when we aren't feeling great. But what I mean is, what expectations do we bring to worship? Do we come expecting to be bored? Is it just something we feel that we want to have to sit through in order to be with our friends? Or do we come expecting to find God's loving presence? Because often we find what we expect to find. Are we looking for all the things that might go wrong or not quite work? Or do we come specifically trying to see all the ways that God is present here with us right now? Do we come to worship safely hidden away in our rational mind with our defensive walls fully reinforced? Or do we come willing to open our hearts to God's transforming love? Finding a way to get into our heart is important. We need that element of going deeper within ourselves. The deeper we can see inside ourselves and our neighbor, the easier it is to encounter God's presence. How we express ourselves in worship can affect whether we're in our heads or hearts as well. For example, worship can be a time of sharing, but maybe not really for a time of conversation. A lot of back and forth, questions and answers can move us into our heads and out of the heart. But on the other hand, open and vulnerable sharing happens from the heart. And jokes are another thing. Laughter and worship is wonderful, but humor can also be very tricky. A joke that may be funny among friends after church might very well feel jolting in Joys and Concerns. And so as we think about what we are bringing to worship and how we're connecting with God, we might just want to think about some of these things just to be aware of them. One suggestion I've heard that I like is to think of everything in worship as an offering to God. So everything as a response to God, everything as a seeking of God. In our gospel reading, when Jesus stood up and read from the prophet Isaiah, the selection he chose was a sort of personal mission statement, but it was also a mission statement for his followers as well, to bring good news to the poor and free the captive, to be witness to God's love and serve those in need. I think this mission begins in worship, in nurturing our relationship with the divine. Worship can be a valuable source of energy and hope, connecting us to God when we're struggling and anxious, helping us to stay centered on God's love when the world threatens to blow us off our foundations. And so I invite us to open our hearts and put our trust in God, always seeking to go deeper, responding to the presence of the divine, nurturing our relationship with God as we support and strengthen each other in community, knowing that God is always with us, that we are always loved. Amen.